We have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount for the last, I guess, almost 3 months. We're not going to do that this morning. We're going to look at Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, and we want to read this morning verses 1 through 3. And then we'll take a look at the rest of the chapter, because I think once we understand the context of who is speaking and what is being said, that my prayer is that this morning, as we desire to honor godly mothers, and as we look at the Word of God, and that we pay tribute to godly mothers, that not just godly mothers, but I'm talking about young mothers or mothers-to-be. At the same time, you men may be sitting there saying, "Preacher, I was waiting for a day in the Sunday where you preach to the women. Get after it." And then I want to say to you, men, shame on you. That you see the very pattern that is true about the godly mother is true about the godly father, the godly men, whether they are married, whether they are single. And that our heart's desire is as we contemplate this passage of Scripture, that we recognize that righteousness and godliness, true piousness, piety, holiness, and godly living is that which has been given and granted to us by God. And when it's all done, we bow before God and we say, "Thank you, Lord, for these godly women, for these godly mothers in my life." And we bless and we praise you. And so this morning we want to read, beginning in chapters 31, verses 1 through 3, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught. "What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." And then she goes on with warnings for his son. It's very interesting. And the question that I have, who is Lemuel? Who is this one that this mother is speaking of, encouraging him, "Son of my womb, the son of my vows, give not strength to these which are destructive for you"? I believe that Lemuel is speaking of Solomon by the general consent of both Jewish and Christian writers. The name signifies one from God or belonging to God, and such an one was Solomon imminently, being given by God, you remember, to David and Bathsheba as a pledge of his reconciliation to them after their repentance. Possibly his mother gave him his name to mind him of his great obligations to God and of the justice of his devoting himself to God's service. And so I believe here, and it's very interesting, when you look at the book of Proverbs, that in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, we find clearly it is Solomon that is writing the message to his son. "My son, hear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." And in that, you see, we find that this young man, this preacher, and of course you can look at Ecclesiastes when he comes to the end of his life, where he pins, you see, that famous sermon, "Vanities of all is vanity, save the preacher Solomon is instructing." But in the book of Proverbs, the father Solomon is instructing his son, listen to what real wisdom is that will lead to life and to righteousness and godliness. And then we come to the end of this book and we find very interesting. I'm not sure that there is not much information on that, but it would fit together, wouldn't it? That here is a godly mother, Bathsheba, that has, you see, Solomon, her son, and that you see that it begins to look at the throne and she says, "Here are things that you must give attention to And she comes, you see, with the heart of a mother desiring the best godliness for him. And so we find here that in this particular passage, what a wonderful thing. Matthew Henry says, when children are under the mother's eye, she has an opportunity of fashioning their minds aright. And those who are grown up should often call to mind the good teaching they received when children, the awful, many awful instances of promising character who have been ruined by vile women and love of wine should warn everyone to avoid these evils. Godly mothers. And so we find here in this wonderful passage, we come to the heart of it that Lemuel, what a name to remember, his mother, Bathsheba, she writes and instructs him that in this passage, and she comes to the heart of it after she has warned him in verse 10, where she asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Who can find a godly woman? You know, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about women. There are those that are described as the ungodly. And you see, we find that in chapters 5, verse 1, where Solomon is instructing his son, my son, attend unto my wisdom, bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. And then he says, for the lips of a stranger as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on. Then in chapter 6, verse 23, we read, for the commandment is a lamp and a light, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from evil women, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for a precious life. Here are the warnings in the book of Proverbs that here are ungodly women. You must watch them and don't give yourself to them, to her, because they will lead to destruction. But also, you see, there are godly women that are described in the Proverbs. And I want you to listen to that. And my heart and desire is for our members and guests, our visitors, those of you that are here, you come on Mother's Day, we're glad that you're here. And then in the providence of God, as you have been brought together here today on this occasion, that you see the truth of the Scriptures will find a resting place in your heart. Not only has it been nice honoring your mom to be here with her, but that in this occasion that you would say, Lord, will you loose up on my heart? And that I might recognize that godliness and righteousness is that which is valuable and very rare in our day, and that you see how much it is needed in our day. Lemuel's mother knows the godly woman is from the Lord. In Proverbs 18:22, listen to this. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. From the Lord and of the Lord. And so you see, this morning's consideration is on this Mother's Day, the godly woman. May sit to them. But we can also ask the question, who can find a faithful man? Men as well, we can look into the mirror of God's Word and find a pattern of ourselves. And that we would say, Lord, what is it that you have in mind for us? Now, ladies, I want to ask you something. Ladies, I know you do a lot when it comes to getting your ready. You know, being a man has its advantages. I mean, we get up, I've had the same hairstyle since 1962. What do you think? I mean, I have not tried. No, I have to take that back. 2004, I got the bright idea. That's when I turned 60. And I got one of those haircuts that, whew, I mean, we're talking about this long on top and a lot of mousse in top of it. And it stood up. I mean, it was awful. Anyhow, I went back to the old one. I don't worry about base stuff on my face. I don't worry about putting stuff that takes care of the I don't have any anti-aging material. I have nothing, you see, none of this stuff that women go through. Frankie, this morning as we were driving over here, she's in front of, in the car, driving, you know, at least she's at the passenger side. But I see ladies that are, during the rush hour, they're talking on the handy, and I mean cell phone, and they're putting on makeup at the same time and driving. Isn't that right? Tell it like it is. That's exactly what it is. But I want to ask you something. What is that our society puts before our girls? We need to start with the girls and the boys. What is it that our society puts before us that we somehow or another we want to pattern ourselves after? Our society says, here's what you ought to look like. Here is the successful person. Here's the person that you want to go after. And I mean, we're talking about all kinds. The 20th and 21st century woman, how is she portrayed? Listen to Oprah. Listen to Dr. Phil. Go by the newsstand and look at the covers of the magazines and you see, and I mean, all you have to do is go at the grocery store and you look and see what's in the magazine rack. And the 10 points that is given every month at these women's magazines and fashion magazines of how these women are portrayed. The 100-pound beauty. The entrepreneur of late, with energy galore, the lover, the mother, the friend, the, all of that that is portrayed on our magazines. And I want to say to you, is that exactly what God has in mind for us? You see the question that Bathsheba, Lemuel's mother, asked. And she raises the question, and it is a good question to ask. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above ruby? Where can we find a godly woman? Her price is far above rubies and that of silver and precious gold. She's rare. She's priceless. She's valuable. And here in this passage that's before us, she is portrayed to us as the godly woman. Now I want to say to you, all of us, men and women alike, here is a standard of godliness and righteousness, and it is a lofty standard. And I want you to know, as I look at this standard for myself and for my wife, and for my children, that I want to say it is a high and lofty standard. And Lord, by your grace, I want to look at it and attain to it. And that here is what God has in mind for us as we live our lives. And it's not the magazines, you see. It's not the television programs, the who's and who of Hollywood that is printed out and stamped out and put before us. You're comparing yourself to that. And you're saying, oh my soul, how far short I am of this. But here is what God has in mind for us. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. And so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all of the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considered a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceived that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She laid her hands to a spindle. And her hands hold a distaff, she stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to her ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praised her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of her fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. And so this morning, as we read this passage, there are two things, you see, that in this passage are very plain and clear. Here's this, is that we want to pay a worthy tribute to godly mothers. And then at the same time, we want to look in the Word of God as a mirror, and that we would say, Lord, I want to be that way. You know, as I was reading that, I'm overwhelmed with this woman, aren't you? With the energy and the effort and the heart and all that she goes in. As I was reading that, I was thinking of the stress, you see, and the pressures, you see, that would be on this woman to say, how in the world is she working and living under these circumstances? And so we want to acknowledge and give a worthy tribute to a godly woman. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Honor father and mother. Proverbs 31:28, as we just read, her children rise up. Wanda, it's good to have your boys. Have some of your boys. Do you have any girls? Oh my goodness, where's the girls? Oh, they're in their own churches. Her boys, her girls. Your children to rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. In other words, that when we recognize the grace of God that is in godly women and godly mothers, that what do? We bless and we praise her, we give honor and respect, and we give credit for. What is this godliness? I mean, on one hand, you can say, as we read this portion of the fact of how busy she is, she perceives merchandise, her candle doesn't go out, she lays her hands to the spindle, she's not afraid because of the snow, and all of that workings and being very industrious. There are very industrious people and women in our society. We got Martha Stewart, for instance. We got Oprah Winfrey. That here are people who are busy. We're talking about multimillionaires with coming and going and merchandise and commerce. And on one hand, our society says, look at these entrepreneurs. Look at these women, how successful they are. But you see, when I look at this woman, we take a careful look at this woman, that we find here that she is wise and kind. In verse 26, it says, listen to this. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. What do you think? Wisdom and kindness. What a wonderful combination. Wisdom and kindness. Truth and being kind. I mean, what a great attribute. When you think about that, here is a woman who has wisdom, and then she responds in her wisdom with kindness. Speaking truth in love. I remember I have three women in my life that the Lord has placed in my life that to this day I am very grateful for. I was raised by grandparents. And I was raised by my grandmother. I called her Mama. And Mama, when I was a little boy, she wasn't a Christian. Later on, she professed the Lord Jesus as her Lord and Savior. But I remember that my grandmother, that you see, she was really the only one in my family. She was the only one in my family that spoke truth. And she stood up for what was right. And I recall that because you see, in my family, there was all kinds of tension between family members. There was all kinds of ungodliness that was going on, you see, alongside. And my grandmother, she would speak the truth, and she would try to speak the truth in love. And to this day, I would remember that. And to this day, I am thankful to say, thank you, Lord, for having placed me in that home with Mama. Another godly woman that is so vital and important to me is my mother-in-law. To this day, 87, the mama that I never had. I had a woman that brought me into the world, but she was not my mother. She did not mother me, and at the age of 19, in the providence of God, as our paths crossed, and the Lord, you see, brought us together in holy matrimony. And He placed me in a family of where I indeed, you see, was around godliness that I saw for the first time. Wisdom and the law of kindness. And then, of course, my wife. I would not be the man that I am without my wife. And I thank the Lord publicly for you. For the woman that stands for truth and kindness. And oftentimes, you see, truth, you see, when you speak truth, oftentimes, and it's misunderstood in our day when we speak truth, you see, that somehow or another, when I speak truth, that somehow or another, people are against me. But, oh, my friend, how important and vital is it for truth to be spoken in our day, and that with kindness. Truth, we see, like a two-edged sword will cut to the quick and cut asunder and get into the deeps of the person. But you see, when it's spoken with kindness. I remember looking back and remembering some of the things my grandmother used to say. And you see, after you get a grandfather yourself and time passes, these words, you see, have a way of recalling. And you say, Lord, that's exactly I remember. Now I understand. She's industrious, and of course we find that, you see, she's industrious, and I don't have to here go over that again, but you see, and I want to say to you, I don't know how you order your lives. But you see, the godly woman and the wife and the mother, we find her, she doesn't lay in bed until 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. Her children with a flashlight trying to find clothing to put on their bodies, so they will not wake up mama, and mama gets disturbed by it. You see, we find that this woman, she's industrious. She feeds them. She doesn't just simply stick it in front of a television and says, here it is, watch it, and I'm going back to bed and leave me alone. I don't know. But we find clearly that she looks well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. I guess you can say, she gets up with the chickens and she goes to bed way after the chickens go to bed, and she's busy about all of the things that children and husbands need. And what a blessedness. We also find that she's virtuous. What does that mean? The meaning of virtue, as we read that in this passage. Virtue is that vigor and boldness, resolved to that which is good, and courage in light of difficulties. And that you see that in that, the convictions that she has for her family and for her husband and for those that are around her, she is godly. We find that we read this in this passage. It says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And you see, we find here what happens, you see, when the years take its toll. What happens, you see, when you get into your 60s and 70s and 76 and 77, and when you get close to 80, and like Sam Robinson, that is nine, and that, you know, stands just a few months before 90, when the health is going, and we're talking about when everything, in a sense, you see, that which at one time was appealing to the eye is gone, happens to the beauty. The point that writer is making here is this. The godly woman, she is godly, and godliness is the crown of this woman. The beauty of this woman is what she is, not on the outside, but what she is on the inside. And she has the fear of God. You see, there is that awe and that reverence for God. She recognizes God as God. She believes in His authority. She submits to God's word and His authority. She submits to the providences of God. There is an understanding of the godly woman. That God is God. And I live under His umbrella. I am submissive to God. You see, I know wives. One of the favorite verses of scriptures that men have is the one that we find in the book of Ephesians where it says, wives, submit unto your own husbands. And I mean husbands, they say, preacher, when are you going to preach on that? And you see, at the same time, you see, the verse before we read, and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And did you see, when you recognize the godly woman, she is the one that fears God. And you see, as she fears God, she recognizes the order that God has for their lives. And that the husband, he's not the big cheese. He's not going around snapping his finger and say, woman, I want some tea, and I want it half full with ice. And then she brings it, and he tastes it. He said, woman, will you take that? It doesn't have enough sugar in it. And I mean, you chasing them back and forth, and somehow or another, the man thinks that he has a servant. I've got news for you. The woman that fears the Lord knows and understands that she has a husband that whose head is the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's able and to him she submits to the Lord Jesus. And that's the picture. And so we find here, and favor is deceitful and beauty is in vain. And you see, because of that, the woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. What is the children's response to that? Those who are grown up should often call to mind the good teaching they received when children were instructed by their mothers. I recall this for an illustration. I believe it was a couple of little boys that went to school. I think it might have been first grade or kindergarten. And during that morning, the teacher that normally would teach the class was not there, and they had a substitute teacher. And the substitute teacher was ill-prepared and came to class and sat down the kids and said to the kids, we're going to watch a movie this morning. And the movie is such and such title. And one of the little boys that was in that class, 6 or 7 years old, he recalled that his mama said to him, I don't want you watching anything that is connected with that. And so the teacher, she got all of the equipment up and put in the tape. The little boy raised his hands and he said, teacher, my mama told me that I can't watch this. And the teacher said, well, that's okay. You just come on out. And at that time, there was another little boy in that same room who had a mama who was just as concerned about that and said, my mama said exactly the same thing. And so they marched out, them two little boys. And I want to just say to you, where does that come from? That comes from godly mothers that fear the Lord. And so when you think about the mothers, you see the godliness, and we think about it, we respond to them. Not just for the food and the clothing, the health and the care and the hours and the energies and the miles and the sleepless nights and etc. Man, I want to tell you something. That's wonderful to be a father. I want you to know I thank God for mothers, because God has given mothers a different heart than fathers have. That's the remember, you see, the sleepless nights, the colic and the fever and the rocking and the caring for and the getting up and on and on and on. And what a wonderful testimony of godly women, of women who take their children and, I mean, everything that they have for their for the care that is so necessary for the physical. But then what do you think about the spiritual provisions? I want to just say, stop for a second here. Think about what's happening in our day. All of the energy and effort. Think about all of the miles that you drive. Think about the endless hours that are going into getting them from the time they come into the world to getting them into college and giving them the degree and all of the money. And I mean, we're talking about effort and energy that goes into in trying to get them to the place where they can sustain themselves and provide for themselves. What about that? That's wonderful. What do you think the most important thing is? For parents, for mothers, for godly mothers, for God, for men, what do you think the most important thing is that God has in mind for parents? The Lord's very plain and clear. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But raise them up what? In the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. If we exchange the physical, if we exchange the priorities for that important thing that we have truly failed, do you see what God has in mind for us is that we bring up our children as they will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that everything else will fall in its place. If we have not done this, then we have failed a great deal. Then we have missed what God has called us to, because you see, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the Lord requires from us is that we raise up our children in the Lord. The other day I was sitting out with little Parker. Parker's four. And we were sitting out on the front steps, and I'm not patting myself on the back. But somehow or another, we were listening to the birds and creation, and I started with this little boy. I said, you know, the Bible talks about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And somehow or another, by the time it was all said and done, I ended up with the fall, and I ended up with the fact that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, that God, you see, came and he drove them out of the Garden of Eden. And you ought to have seen this little boy. He says, the guy's got this big. He said, really? And I'm thinking, you know, we need to do that as soon as kids are old enough to. We need to teach them about the fact this is a sinful world. We need to teach them early on in life that what God requires from you, you're impossible to give. We need to teach them that God wants us to love Him with all of our hearts. Listen to me, young and old alike, God wants from us, you and I, He wants from us that we love Him with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our strength, with all of our being. God wants every one of us, this is a commandment for every one of us, to respond to Him, and apart from the Lord Jesus, impossible. And so when our little children, when they grow up, that we show them the demands that God wants from us. And then at the same time, then we're going to see, you don't have to teach little children to be disobedient. That's natural. I mean, that's natural. You don't have to teach them that. And then you show them right there why the Lord Jesus came. And so here I'm saying, is this a tribute to godly mothers, not just to make sure they got dry diapers on, not just that they have their doctor's appointments and they have received their shots and that they're doing well in first and second grade. But oh, I want to say to you, women, listen to me. Women, you have children and grandchildren. You see, how about the provisions of the Lord Jesus and the need of the Savior, of the one who comes and gives a new heart and a new nature? You see, beauty is vain. All of that we strive after is short-lived. And then when it's all said and done, that the only thing that remains is the woman that fears the Lord. She's the one that shall be praised. Amen. And so lastly this morning, I want to say to you, a worthy tribute to a godly woman is what? To follow and remember and apply and imitate and be like. That's a godly tribute. Not just to say that my mother loved me and my mother was there for me. I do my own thing. Well, my mother, she has different convictions. But if she was a godly woman, let me tell you, a godly tribute is this. Mama said, therefore, I'm going to follow. Mama showed me what a pattern for me to follow. Mama has given me the example, and therefore I'm going to do it. Mama is the one that did it. Mama showed me how to do it. Therefore, I'm going to go follow him. And that's a godly tribute, you see. It's when we, not only do we acknowledge and bless and praise them for who they are and what they've done in our lives, but more than that, that you see that they say, not only have they seen it, not only have they heard, but oh, look how they follow the example, how they're following the Lord Jesus as I follow him. Finally, you say, when we talk about this morning, I'm not even close to this. I want to say, wherever we are, Don't you believe that God in His goodness has brought us face to face with the truths of the Scriptures, that here is a godly woman, here's the pattern for a godly man, and that by Your grace, Lord, we turn and we want to turn and we want to say, Lord, I want to be like this. And then when it's all done, when health and the strength is gone, when frail and weak, it is the one that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And it is God, the God of grace, that is going to be praised, because you see, it is He that makes the difference in the life of the one who fears Him. I want to ask you this morning, what does the Lord mean to you? I mean, what does the Lord mean to you? Do you have the Lord at all ever in your mind? Those of you that have children, do you realize and recognize that children are a gift from God? They're not the product of this or that. It is God that blesses the womb, and with that comes the responsibility and the privilege to raise them in the Lord. What does the Lord Jesus mean to you? What are people going to say when you're old and frail and when you're weak? What are people going to say? Will your children rise up and call you blessed? Will your husband say, I can trust in her? Will they know you in the gates that say, I know who your wife is. She is a godly woman. The Lord be blessed for that. What will they say? You say, where does it start? Let me tell you where it starts. It starts with the fact that indeed my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm a sinner. And what's in my heart will not produce anything that we read in Proverbs 31. It is only in the mercies and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that He turns and He puts before us the fear of God. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you know us intimately. You know each and every one of us. And we come and we bow before You this morning and we acknowledge the fact of the people that You've placed in our lives. Mothers, grandmothers, aunts, godly women, relatives. And You've blessed us with them and we bless You and thank You for them. And we pray now, Lord, not just we don't just simply bow before You and we thank You, but Lord, we desire to imitate Him. And we ask that Your Spirit will write with His finger upon our hearts that which we need to have written by You and by You only. And so we look to You this morning. Help us as we respond to You. We bless You and thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?